Baby. Funny thing about babies. Ma died having one. The Lindbergh said goodnight to one and lost it. And somebody last Saturday decided to give one away. Reverend Bingham says that Harley Madden was sweeping the dust out of church, shining things up for Sunday service, when he swept himself up to a package on the north front steps. He knelt, studying the parcel, and called to Reverend Bingham, who came right by and opened the package up. It held a living baby. Reverend Bingham took it to Doc Rice. Doc checked it, said it was fine, only small, less than a 5-pound sack of sugar, and a little cold from spending time on the north front steps. But Mrs. Bingham and the Reverend warmed that baby with blankets and sugar water and tender talk, and the whole of Joy City came forward with gifts. I asked my father if we could adopt it, but he said we stood about as much chance of getting that baby as the wheat stood of growing, since we couldn't give the baby anything, not even a ma. Then he looked at me, sorry as dust. And to make up for it, he pulled out a box with the rest of the clothes Ma had made for our new baby and told me to drop them by the church if I wanted. I found the dimes Ma'd been saving, my earnings from the piano inside an envelope, in the box of baby Franklin's 90s. She had kept those dimes to send me to Panhandle A&M to study music. No point now. I sat at her piano a long time after I got back from the church, imagining a song for my little brother, buried in Ma's arms on a knoll overlooking the banks of the Beaver, imagining a song for the Lindbergh baby stiff in the woods, imagining a song for this new baby who would not be my father's son. May, 1935. Old Bones. Once, dinosaurs roamed in Cimarron County, bones showing in the green shale, ribs the size of plow blades, hip bones like crank phones, and legs running like fence rails down to a giant foot. A chill shoots up my spine, imagining a dinosaur slogging out of an Oklahoma sea with turtles swimming around its legs. I can see it sunning itself on the swampy banks, beyond it a forest of ferns. It's almost easy to imagine, gazing out from our house at the dust-crushed fields. Easy to imagine filling in all the emptiness with green. Easy to imagine such a beast brushing an itchy rump against our barn. But all that remains of it is bone, broken and turned to stone, trapped in the hillside, this once-upon-a-time real-live dinosaur who lived and fed and roamed like a ridiculous long-necked cow, and then fell down and died. I think for a moment of Joe de la Fleur, herding brontosaurus instead of cattle, and I smile. I tell my father, let's go to the site and watch the men chip away with ice picks. Let's see how they plaster the bones. Please, before they ship the whole thing to Norman. I am thinking that a dinosaur is getting out of Joy City 100 million years too late to appreciate the trip, and that I ought to get out before my own bones turn to stone. But I keep my thoughts to myself. My father thinks a while, rubbing that spot on his neck. He looks out the window, out across the field, toward the knoll where Ma and the baby lie. It's best to let the dead rest, he says. And we stay home. June, 1935.